Marshmallow Game, written by Watergaw and read by Flower Parish. This is an all-for-the-game fic, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Kevin/Neil/Andrew. Summary, in which Kevin solicits the help of his best friend Neil with his romantic problems. No, Neil can't believe it either. Neil, Kevin says, grabbing at Neil's shoulder in an unnecessary attempt to get his attention. Neil, did you see that save? Neil did, and this is not the first time Kevin has mentioned it. It's not even the first time he's mentioned it in the last 10 minutes. Neil knows all there is to know about that save. It was beautiful. Kevin's voice is full of awe. No one should have been able to cover that angle, but he did. How can he possibly play like that and not care? Neil valiantly resists the urge to roll his eyes, but, being himself, he fails to control his mouth. Why don't you ask him? Actually, no. He holds up his palm first, fingers spread. Why don't you ask him out? Then maybe I won't have to keep listening to you going on about him. Neil, Kevin squawks, just as Neil intended him to. It's not like that. Then he pauses. When he speaks again, it's quiet. Hesitant, in a way Kevin never is. It sounds so wrong. There's a cold, sick sensation creeping in Neil's stomach. Do you think he would? Neil wishes he'd bitten out his tongue. Neil, to put it mildly, doesn't have much experience with romance. For a while there, some of the people in his classes had been quite invested in trying to change that state of affairs. No wasn't enough of an answer for them, and it had been annoying. Back then, Kevin had agreed. Romance was a distraction he couldn't afford. Between matches and practice, and more practice, there isn't time for anything else. He'd never wanted anything else before. Things are different now. What he can't understand, though, is how he keeps finding himself in these situations. Kevin is talking about Andrew again, their new teammate, a transfer from another school. Subjects Kevin likes to talk about: his statistics, his tactical brilliance, his arms. Neil would like to crawl out of his skin. He's doing his best to shut it all out, but it keeps filtering in, holding his attention like the worst kind of earworm. He has to intervene, at last, when Kevin speculates about getting Andrew to join the training camp his mom has set up with the Trojans in the spring, whether that might be a good place for him to make a move. Neil would very much like to be excluded from this particular narrative, but, against his better judgment, he likes Kevin enough to want to keep him alive. Do not talk to Andrew about Exe. There's a very real risk he might stab you if you try. This whole approach is fundamentally flawed. This is Andrew we're talking about, not you or me. Kevin huffs a laugh. Liar, talking about Exe doesn't work on you. It might. It does not. Amber Evans literally tried that. I watched it play out in real time. The stuff of epic tragedy. Amber Evans doesn't give a shit about Exe. Kevin groans and rubs his face. Ugh, how am I asking you for romantic advice again? I keep asking myself this exact question. Why don't you tell me? How do you know so much about Andrew anyway? Neil does his best to suppress the flinch. So, here's the thing. Neil's life has changed beyond recognition in the last 8 years, since his mother saw the burned flesh on his shoulder and made sure it was the last mark his father ever gave him. He wonders sometimes how she did it, if she's even still alive. Whatever it was that she did to get his father to give him up, let her put him into care, it was enough to keep him alive. And Neil was lucky. He was adopted and brought here to Long Beach, where he has Exe, where Kevin has been his best friend since the first time they set foot on the same court, when Neil joined his Major Division Little League team at 9 years old. Neil never could have imagined a life as good as this. But still, even now, Neil can't shake the habit of watching, of scoping out exits and assessing the risks, of knowing how far an adult man's arm can reach. These are parts of Neil, bone deep. And like knows like, the first time he found Andrew Minyard smoking in the narrow strip of land behind the gym, Neil could see it. The traces of a life away from the glossy brightness of this impossibly perfect world. They talk sometimes. Neil likes the smell of Andrew's cigarettes, a reminder of the mother who loved him enough to let him go. He thinks Andrew might ask him about it, one day, another part of the puzzle whose pieces they trade between them, fragments of truth on something less than trust. Neil likes it, guards it jealously, a secret kept even from Kevin, with whom he shares so much. It soothes a raw place inside him to have someone who understands what can't be said. That, and Kevin isn't wrong about how beautifully Andrew plays. All the fluid grace of a predator poised to spring, lightning quick when he strikes. Andrew pulls Neil's gaze like a magnet. In his own way, he's as perfect as Kevin, and he barely seems to try. Neil, though, knows better than to talk to him about it. He's learned the hard way that Exitalk makes Andrew glaze over and cut him dead. Neil doesn't quite believe that Andrew doesn't care. Kevin isn't wrong about that either. But Andrew can't let Exy be to him what it is for them. Something in him can't feel that way, and pressing him on it would be a dangerous mistake. Neil has seen the knives he carries, sharp edges glinting in the bright sunlight. Neil knows what it's like to feel safer with a lethal thing to hand. What Neil can't understand is how the thought of Kevin and Andrew together leaves him so off balance, as if the world has twisted into an impossibly new shape, the ground sliding out from under him with a sickening lurch. He was happy with things the way they were, wasn't he? He keeps trying to tell himself it doesn't have to be bad, it doesn't have to mean they won't have any time for him. He likes them both, don't they deserve to be happy? If he was a good friend, wouldn't he want that? The guilt settles on him like an oil slick, so he keeps trying harder, forcing himself out of his comfort zone to help Kevin get what he wants. It shouldn't surprise him that it keeps getting worse. Not all at once, but little by little, things go to hell. It starts with Kevin asking him how he should talk to Andrew while he's lounging on Neil's bed doing homework after school. If I can't talk to him about Exy, what can we talk about? What do you talk about? It's a difficult question. Anything and nothing. Nothing he can put into words for Kevin, that's for sure. He shrugs, and Kevin gives him the same disappointed look he reserves for Neil showing anything less than total commitment to drills or game analysis. It's sad and a little haughty, and it really shouldn't be anywhere near this effective. I don't know, things. Any one of the infinite number of things that aren't Exy that exist. There are lots of them. Things. So helpful, Neil. Okay, let me think. Neil drags a hand down his face. What if you invite him somewhere, like a date? Kevin grimaces. Too much pressure. It needs to be something lower stakes. Somewhere he could get to know me first. Off the court, Neil nods. The beach, maybe. They go down there sometimes, light a bonfire, and sit under the stars. It's nice. It could be romantic. He tries to ignore the hollow feeling in his chest. He's not replacing himself. He's not. Kevin points at him. Yes, that could work. And then, a minute later, but what do I say? I don't go on dates. Help me. And I do? How many dates have you ever known me to go on? Not because no one asks you. People ask you, Kevin Day. Kevin waves a hand as if this is of no importance. Okay, but which of us has a problem running his mouth? You can say anything to anyone and get away with it. What would you say? You're really asking me this. Me. You want me to come up with things you can say to Andrew Minyard that will get him to see you as boyfriend material. Based on my extensive experience of, wait, let me check my notes here, not dating anyone. Do you hear yourself, Kevin? Does he sound hysterical? He feels like he might be starting to sound that way, the edge of panic spreading through his voice. Kevin sprawls across the bed, spreading his arms wide and blinking up at him. I believe in you and your terrible, terrible mouth. Help me, Neil. You're my only hope. Neil makes a derisive noise and shoves Kevin off the bed, where he stays, shaking with laughter. Snatching a pillow, Neil throws it at him for good measure. He's not doing this. Except, apparently, he is. A few hours of guilty conscience later finds Neil with a pile of screwed up pieces of paper covered in his most unreadable scrawl. He must be a masochist because he is doing this and doing it very badly. And Kevin is still wrong because it turns out Neil's gift for saying the very best worst thing on a moment's notice is strictly a spontaneous thing. He can't do this shit on paper, not at all. Worse, what Kevin's asked him to do has him thinking about what he might say to Andrew if he were Kevin, if he wanted to date Andrew. And the thing is, the thing that has him dropping his head to the desk with a thunk that sends balled up paper scattering everywhere as his heart drops like a stone, well, Neil would have sworn, would still swear, that he wasn't in denial about his own feelings. They weren't romantic before, he knows. But the moment he started to think about Andrew that way, the way Kevin does, was like pushing a hidden switch. The bookcase in a familiar room spinning on its axis to reveal a secret stair. It's the perspective shift that turns a duck into a rabbit, makes your vision lurch to see it any other way. He wasn't attracted to Andrew, but now it's threaded all through him, as intricate and deep as his capillary system. Not new, but changed. That it's not just Andrew, but Kevin too, is terrifying. Neil is the worst friend in the world, worse than even he knew. Neil has spent his whole life without feeling that insistent tug of want he'd heard about, had never even missed it. He already had everything he wanted. He didn't need this. To feel it now, for both of them, the two people he cares about most, is mortifying. To feel it when Kevin already cares about Andrew, when Neil is supposed to be the one who helps him, is a special kind of awful. There's no way out, though. The two people he might have talked to about something like this are the ones he can't talk to about it at all. All he can do is his best, what he's promised, even if it leaves him scraped raw. Explaining himself is not an option. No way in hell. So there's nothing he can say when Kevin asks him if he'll be the one to ask Andrew if he'll come to the beach. He won't think anything of it if you ask him. It can just be a friend's thing. If I ask him, he'll think it's a date. Kevin almost makes this sound logical. Isn't it a date? No, this is a pre-date, where he gets to see what a catch I am, and then I ask him out. I see. Good luck with that. Kevin shoves him, and they laugh. But, oh shit, it looks like Neil is doing this too. He finds Andrew in the usual in-between place, propped up against the wall that backs onto the gym. All in black despite the bright sunlight, cigarette in hand, and his face as closed off as ever. Neil's heart stalls in his chest as he catches sight of him. He can't look at Andrew. He can't look away. It would be helpful if this internal shutdown resolved itself in the next few seconds, but Neil is nowhere near that lucky. Andrew is looking at him with a tiny furrow creasing the skin between his brows, as if something mildly interesting is unfolding before him. Walking toward Andrew, Neil shoots for casual and eats shit in a spectacular fashion. Smooth. He tries to play it off, picking himself up with a self-deprecating smile that feels wrong on his face. Every part of his body is awkward and ill-fitting, too big and clumsy to obey him as he moves. The furrow between Andrew's brows grows deeper. Time stretches out, impossibly torturous as Neil keeps walking. What else can he do? Hi, he says, once he's close enough, mind suddenly blank with panic, full of nothing but proximity to Andrew. Suddenly conscious of what it means to feel want humming through his body, and knowing he can't let any of it slip. Andrew just looks at him in silence. The weight of his gaze makes Neil squirm like a fish on a hook. So, Kevin and I were thinking of heading down to the beach Friday after practice. Andrew tilts his head ever so slightly. He's listening. We thought maybe you'd like to join us. Neil is blushing now. He can feel the heat in his cheeks and is hoping against hope that it doesn't show on his face. You and Kevin, says Andrew, slowly, like he can taste the words in his mouth. Yes? Neil isn't sure what's making Andrew hesitate. It's a straightforward enough question, but he feels like he's missing something. Out of his depth. But Andrew doesn't give him anything more than another considering glance. Okay, he says. Text me. He grinds out his cigarette, flicking the end into the long grass. Then he's walking away, Neil staring after him in confusion. Friday night comes. Their half-assed plan keeps spluttering forwards with inexplicable successes and a horrifying tendency to keep involving Neil, personally, far more than he ever wanted. He'd hoped, vaguely, that maybe he could just make a tactical withdrawal early in the evening. Let Kevin's pre-date make a smooth transition into an actual date, while Neil escapes all the awkward third-wheeling. And yet, when he'd opened his mouth and started to make his excuses, Kevin's hand had shot out and wrapped itself around his elbow. The look in his eyes said, "Don't go," loud as a shout, and there's something vulnerable there, too. Kevin's scared of putting himself out there like this. Doesn't want to be hurt. Neil's resistance crumbles like an English dessert topping. So, here he is, sitting with them by the bonfire they built on the beach, in the pale moonlight under the stars. The fire crackles and flickers, sending sparks upwards into the dark, lining their faces in red golden light. It could have been romantic. Instead, his friends, who could be enjoying the real date he arranged for them, despite the way it makes his heart squeeze in his chest, instead, they're torturing him. With marshmallows. This is not fair. This was not the deal. Kevin and Andrew exchange glances, entirely too knowing for Neil's comfort. Oh, but it was. And you should get it down, you loser. In front of Neil, there's a pile of pink and white candies that keeps getting smaller. They're soft and puffy and far too sweet. He stuffs one in his cheek and grimaces, baring his teeth in a grin to show he's done. Andrew nods, satisfied, and gestures at Kevin. Your turn, then. Kevin pretends to think for a minute. Never have I ever let my phone die on purpose and lied about it. Neil growls, only slightly muffled by the marshmallow he still hasn't swallowed, on principle. Kevin and Andrew both know him too well and are ruthlessly exploiting this insider information to make him eat these horrible things. He knows when he's lost, though, and stuffs a marshmallow in his other cheek. A matching set. Hamsters have nothing on Neil. Behind his own, much larger pile of uneaten marshmallows, Kevin is laughing, shoulders shaking and his eyes curved into crescents as he holds his sides. For a moment, Neil thinks it's cute, glad someone at least is enjoying his misery. Then he remembers that no, this is Kevin's fault. A surge of pure annoyance has him chewing and swallowing the soft, sweet candy. Never have I ever talked endlessly about my crush rather than Neil. Laughing, Neil dodges Kevin's swipe and mimes zipping his lips shut. Okay, but it stands. Kevin eats a marshmallow, looking almost as disgusted about it as Neil. Is he unhappy with Neil or the departure from his usual athlete-appropriate diet? Probably both, Neil decides, with an unrepentant shrug. Andrew, who hasn't eaten another marshmallow, is looking between them. Something flickers across the still features of his face, there and gone before Neil can parse it. He considers for a moment, and then speaks slowly, feeling out the words. Never have I ever had a crush on a teammate. Neil is sure his face must be beet red. Cautiously, he flicks his eyes in Kevin's direction. Kevin's biting his lip, tension in the set of his shoulders. Still, he reaches out, takes another marshmallow, and puts it in his mouth. Neil looks at Andrew and finds Andrew already looking back at him. Neil? He prompts. In his peripheral vision, he sees Kevin's eyes go wide, hears the sudden intake of breath. He rolls his eyes at the sheer absurdity of his life and picks up his own marshmallow. Then, Andrew looks between them both and takes one too. Kevin makes a punched-out little sound, gaping at Andrew. But what? Who? He stops, squares his shoulders, and gets the focused look on his face that Neil knows so well that usually means he's about to crush their opponents under his heel. Never have I ever had a crush on someone here. More marshmallows. Neil might even grow to like the candy's cloying sweetness when it brings him so close to what he wants, he can almost taste it. In the lines of their bodies, in the air, he can read the confession that hasn't come yet, the one that won't leave him on the outside, alone. And it's his turn now. Never have I ever had a crush on more than one person here. This time, he can feel the smile pulling at his mouth as he eats, watching Kevin and Andrew do the same. How long? He asks Kevin. Always, but I didn't think you felt that way about anyone. Neil shrugs, helplessly. I didn't, and then I did? I do. He looks at Andrew, curling one hand around the nape of his neck, self-conscious. Really? Both of us? Andrew raises one eyebrow a fraction of an inch. Really? He moves closer, looking from Neil to Kevin and back again. His eyes drop to Neil's lips and linger there. Can I kiss you? Neil looks at Kevin, who smiles and lays his hand over Neil's where it rests on the ground next to him, lacing their fingers together with a gentle squeeze. Yes, Neil says. Andrew leans forward, cupping Neil's face in warm, rough hands. The kiss is warmer, marshmallow sweetness tempered with smoke, and all the intense presence that is Andrew. Neil feels the rhythm of it in his blood, and it leaves him dizzy, bright-eyed, and breathless in Andrew's arms. He doesn't get long to recover, though. As Andrew draws back, Kevin leans in, stopping a breath from Neil's lips, a silent question. Neil rises to meet him, smiling against his mouth and catching his lips in a kiss, whose pattern he's learned from Andrew. He wants to know this side of Kevin, wants to watch Kevin learning Andrew, knowing that he'll get the chance, that he's part of this, in a way he never thought he could be, has him feeling lighter, brighter, shining like one of the sparks rising from the fire, or the distant stars above them. He came prepared to lose. Instead, he's found something new. Difficult, challenging, even dangerous. It's the shape of the game he loves, the risk he chooses. Tonight, and always, he'll play. The end.